Hello and welcome to Crosstalk Bullhorns. I'm Peter Lavelle. Here we discuss some real news. The attempted assassination of Donald Trump tells us all we need to know about the extreme tensions that make up American politics. Sadly, America has a long and deadly history of political violence. The country's political culture is simply toxic. To discuss these issues and more, I'm joined by my guest, George Samueli in Budapest. He's a podcaster at The Gaggle, which can be found on YouTube and Locals. And in Marrakesh, we have Martin Jay. He's an award-winning journalist and commentator. All right, gentlemen, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. All right, let's start out with George in Budapest, as usual. George, we called this one. We have been saying for a very long time, because of the perceived extremes of American politics, that something like an attempted assassination could happen. Well, it has already happened. So what does this tell you, and how does this change the dynamics, if at all? Go ahead, George.
Well, in terms of the election, I think the dynamics, we simply don't know as yet how that's going to affect the outcome. But this was entirely predictable because of the, you know, years and years of an absurd, overwrought, hysterical coverage of Trump. I mean, certainly the media contributed to this absolutely ridiculous hysteria, but of course, politicians and chiefly President Biden, who has repeatedly declared that this is an existential matter for the United States. You know, Trump poses an existential threat to the United States. He has been saying this since 2019. And let's remember, even before that, Trump was accused essentially by much of the media and again, much of the Democratic Party of having been an agent of the Kremlin. In other words, he was a traitor. And of course, when you call somebody a traitor, when you say that that person is literally Adolf Hitler, well, what happens? And the amazing thing that it's taken this long for something like this to happen. And what is really disgusting is all these politicians, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffrey, Biden himself, now saying, well, we wish Trump a very speedy recovery. Political violence has no place in our discourse. Well, you called him Adolf Hitler. Well, if he's Adolf Hitler, why would you be wishing him a speedy recovery? So either you were lying and you were just been basically fooling the American people by calling him Hitler, or this was exactly what you were hoping would happen, that some young man, apparently this assassin was 20 years old, would say, I've got to save the world from Adolf Hitler. So this is really quite a disgusting hypocrisy now going on.
You know, Martin, you've already seen the picture, which I wrote. I sent it to you. It's iconic. It certainly is iconic. It's probably been seen by over a billion people already around the world. And it's akin to like the flag on Iwo Jima, I mean, or some of the civil rights movement images we have, other assassinations. But the way I read that picture is that the way his supporters, I mean, they feel his literal pain. They feel the persecution, this ridiculous lawfare against them. There's probably a million good reasons to dislike Donald Trump, but this persecution of him infuriates people, and people that maybe not have a very strong political attitude. They literally feel this man's pain.
I think so, yeah. And I think that may well be beyond his own political camp. It may well be a number of swing voters or undecided voters from the other side as well, who now have seen the witch hunt, they've seen the court cases, and they don't believe it. They don't believe what they're seeing. They know that there is a political agenda behind all of this. And George is absolutely right. You know, the hysteria that's been whipped up against Trump. I think it was the Slovakian PM who just tweeted just a few minutes ago. He said something along the lines of, you know, it was inevitable sooner or later when you put the guy down so much that a member of the public was going to do the job and step up to the mark and take the shot. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say that exactly like that, but you get the point, you know. You have to ask yourself the security at these events. I mean, you know, I don't want to be accused of being a conspiracy theorist, but you know, one has to wonder with the witch hunt that I mentioned before, with the amount of cases that have been brought against Trump. You have to wonder whether the deep state also perhaps arranges for the security at these events to be so poor. Because it's only a question of time, sooner or later, before in a country like America, where some crackpot you know, brings along a $100 rifle and takes a few shots at this guy. I mean, I think it was inevitable. I don't think we should be so shocked by it, especially when you look at the video footage which came online just minutes later of three security ladies, FBI ladies, with their very stylish dark glasses, who were just running around like headless chickens. I mean, it was literally pitiful watching these three ladies. One couldn't holster a weapon properly. Another one was more concerned about putting her sunglasses on correctly to look cool. In the, behind them was the smoke glass van, you know, taking Trump away. And it was just hilarious, to be honest. So you've got to ask those sort of questions. But I think the broader question, the bigger question is, we haven't lived in these times before. The Trump phenomenon is entirely new ground. It's unprecedented. And I think the bigger question is this a small taste of things to come? Is this the tip of the iceberg? You know, we've all been bracing ourselves, wondering. We're not so confident. We're pretty confident that Trump was going to win. But will the country, will America and tentacles of all the power within it allow him to win? You know, on November the 5th, you know, are we going to see thousands of people take to the streets with their $100 rifles or worse?
Well, I think, Martin, I think it's pretty fair to say, I'll throw it to George right now, whatever the outcome, half the country is not going to agree with it. That's where we are, George.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, half the country will not agree with it. And even if he is elected, how safe
will he be inaugurated, George?
Will he be inaugurated? That's right. I mean, we already know, and this, of course, is adding to the hysteria, that if the Democrats do capture the House, they will not certify the result. This is something they've already said. They will not certify the result. So it's entirely dependent on the Republicans taking the House for Trump to be installed as president. And, you know, even if he is installed as president, we're going to get 4 years of this. And really, there's been, there's a long train now in recent years of assassination. I mean, after all, it was only weeks ago we were talking about the assassination attempt on Robert Fitzo. Then we had the assassination attempt at the congressional ball game. That was in 2017. We had an assassination attempt on the Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. So there, all of these events are the direct result of the hysteria that is being whipped up by, you know, I have to say, the Democrats and their media allies. And so therefore, if Trump does become president, that isn't going to stop. So it's like they've determined that this is somehow, this is existential. They keep repeating this. Somehow, America cannot survive Donald Trump. And remember that horrible person, Mr. Victor Nuland, Victoria Nuland, Robert Kagan, wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post, and we talked about this. It was about, I don't know, 6 months ago, in which he was pretty much calling for the assassination of Trump. He just said, this man is such an existential threat. We can't stop him. This is Julius Caesar. You know, this is the only way that we're going to deal with him is the way they dealt with Julius Caesar. So this is, you know, this is how the political establishment is thinking. And indeed, as Martin said, there are serious, really serious questions about the security lapses there. I mean, it's just inexplicable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Real questions.
Well, it's really quite remarkable, Martin, is that I'm glad you brought up the Slovak prime minister. I mean, this is what we see all across the Western world. Everything is existential. If everything is existential, then anything and everything is permitted because it's, you know, it's to be or not to be. This is it's obviously very reminiscent of the Civil War in the United States, but this is a civil war that's being played out across the West as well.
Yeah, but it is existential. And unfortunately, what I've witnessed in my career in the last 30 years as a journalist is how Western countries have become more and more, their political systems have become simplified, they've become binary, they've become, you know, very much oversimplified black and white choices for people. And I think this has been accelerated by the advent of social media.
Well, I mean, also, Martin, don't you think when thinking about the elections in France and then the UK and then the European Parliament, just you can win a lot of votes, but you don't get too many seats. I mean, it's becoming more and more obvious that the system is rigged.
the system is, I mean, the Western democracy and its models, plural, are not working. They're not functioning anymore, you know. And so you're getting the votes to the ballot box, but people know that their vote is very much a token part of the whole thing. You know, that there needs to be something else to hold politicians accountable. And so, you know, assassination attempts at public rallies in America, it shouldn't be something that surprises us. Assassination attempts of Western leaders like the Slovakian PM, perhaps this is going to be something that we're going to see more regularly in the press. Because, you know, as I say, I think the confidence is just waning now. You know, we're looking for an alternative model, and the present one, you know, just doesn't seem to work. I mean, if we look at NATO, for example, which just celebrated its birthday, you know, some pundits have argued, well, the basis of NATO 75 years ago was a pretty lame one. I mean, the idea that the Soviets had this military threat against us and were going to wipe us out, same argument, same existentialism, you know, same absolute, unqualified, unmerited, unendorsed absolute explanations, which we were supposed to swallow.
Well, I mean, and never given a democratic test. You know, George, it's very interesting is the way when we look at these elections, your participation legitimizes the outcome, but not your decision. You see what I'm saying? Is that, you know, we have a vibrant democracy because people vote, but it doesn't deal with the outcome of the vote. George.
No, that's right. I mean, and that's why there is the constant manic attempt to get everyone to vote, to tell you, oh, it's really, really important that you vote. You must vote. You know, that's your duty as a citizen to vote. And then and people saying, well, why? What difference is it going to make? And why are we getting leaders that we don't want, you know, candidates that we don't want? And in fact, the problem with this, the Western democratic model, is that it's just based on one premise, which is, we have to keep out the other guy. The other guy is an existential threat. That's also, we don't actually promise you anything. We don't have a positive program. We have no idea how to improve your life. But that person is literally Hitler, and we have to do whatever we can in order to keep him out of power. And this is what they're doing. This is whether it's the United States, whether it's France, whether it's in Germany, and very soon it'll be the case in the UK, where, you know, the literally Hitler will be Nigel Farage, and we have to keep him out, otherwise democracy will come to an end.
Yeah, when everything becomes existential, then everything is legitimate. Everything is on the table, except for in recognition of the democratic process. Gentlemen, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on some real news. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk Bullhorns. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing some real news. Okay, let's go back to George in Budapest here. I mean, this is sending a very dangerous signal, because first of all, in looking at the Trump's opponents, their crocodile tears, I mean, it's pretty hard to believe. I mean, we went through this whole debate fiasco. We all were told that Joe Biden is just, you know, Jim Dandy, you know, sharp as a tack and all of that. And then we see what happened. And then they do a flip. And now they're pretending that they never demonized Donald Trump. There are plenty of reasons to dislike Donald Trump. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, to turn around now and say that we don't want anything, we don't have any ill feelings. We don't have any hope for a disaster to come across him. But that's not true. It's all lies.
Yeah, exactly. It was all lies. And it was done precisely in order to whip up this hysteria. I mean, you can't just simply say, well, you know, this isn't really what we meant. We're in the business of civil discourse. I think Obama issued something. Well, we need civil discourse. You know, we got no room for violence. How is this civil discourse? And we all remember that that event, that solemn event with the red lights that Biden...
Yeah, I call it the Mussolini moment.
Mussolini moment, in which he was saying, you know, and again, the threat was not just from Trump, but from Trump's supporters. And, you know, and almost from the beginning of Biden's term, he was talking about this, the existential threat posed by all sorts of, you know, characters that we could call the other, you know, the anti-vaxxers, the white supremacists, the white nationalists, the MAGA followers. That is how they've been playing this the political game, really, you know, for years and years. And of course, something like this is going to happen. And now just to turn around, well, we wish him a speedy recovery. the man that you said is Adolf Hitler, and he's going to end democracy, that his agenda is to end democracy. Now you wish him a speedy recovery. Why would you wish him a speedy recovery? He's only going to end democracy, according to you.
Yeah, Martin, the way the rhetoric has been played out, and it's almost getting close to 10 years now, when you think about it, okay, almost 10 years, is that there is no middle ground. There is no compromise. Everything is a purity test, okay? You can't run a democratic society like that for very long.
You can't. And I think the situation that we're in now in America, where we have the choice of these two leaders who are both quite controversial and quite polemic for different reasons. I think the system is quite limited, and it may well be that this particular election will spark a completely new process, a completely new process of dialogue from people right across all sectors of society to ask, you know, can we do something about the system? Can we create a system which is more more liberal, more open, which has a certain more flexibility. In Britain, for example, you know, we've seen the emergence of Keir Starmer, who has basically taken control of the country with the lowest election turnout ever. And so people are starting to ask questions, you know, is it time for Britain to have a proportional representation voting system? I think the problem with America is, unlike Britain, you don't have that protest vote character in the middle. You don't have a party called the Liberals. You know, it's either one thing or the other. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. But I think this is really now, more than ever, we're beginning to see how this system is failing people. And you're quite right to say that, you know, it's very hard to imagine Trump coming into power with at least half of the country now absolutely determined that he won't come in. So My point is something has to change, and I think this is probably the breaking point.
Yeah, I mean, it's because, George, I mean, elections, they're becoming less meaningful. I mean, just as you pointed out, you know, everybody has to vote, you know, voter turnout, you know, legitimize the election, but it doesn't happen that way. I mean, it's still, it's verboten to say in Western media, but, I mean, there are tens of millions of Americans that don't believe the 2020 outcome. They believe that Trump won in 2016, he won in 2020, and he's going to win in 2024, except for they won't let him. You can define that yourself. Go ahead, George.
Yes, that's right. And that's exactly how people will see it. And remember, you know, this assassination attempt comes after these series of events. Remember, you know, they tried to take him off the ballot. I mean, it's a kind of unheard of to do that, to take somebody off the ballot where you don't have a right to vote for this person. Imagine that. I mean, half the country regards him as the legitimate president. Then you say, well, no, we made a decision. You don't have a right to vote for him. And then an attorney general in New York State decided, I'm just going to bankrupt him. I'm just going to take away all of his money. And I've got to come up with some convoluted, ridiculous legal theory that has never been tried. And I know I'm going to get a sympathetic judge. I'm just going to take all his money away. And they tried to do it. It's only because the appellate court jumped in and said, well, you know, I'll, you know, take it easy with this money grab. And then, of course, you know, we have all of the four indictments. I mean, it's just unheard of. You know, a president has never been indicted once, and now we have four all timed foreign elections. So this is a long-standing process in which you've got these political partisans that are absolutely determined to prevent the coming to power of somebody who half the country regards as their legitimate leader. Well, you know, ultimately, this is a fundamentally unstable situation. Yeah. I mean, everywhere there has to be some kind of a political consensus whereby, leaders accept outcomes and respect the leader of the opposition. Now, what we had during these last, 24 hours is the utter hypocrisy in which the political establishment pretends, well, that's the system. Yeah, we all wish him well. Our prayers, our thoughts and prayers are with his family. It's this utterly sanctimonious, totally dishonest thing. But ultimately, we know we're going to go back. With a few weeks, we're going to go back to the Trump hysteria.
Yeah, you know, Martin, it's I'm glad that George brought up these frivolous lawfare suits, because the liberals, they prefer rigged juries, but I think the rest of us would prefer the jury of the electorate. Let the electorate be the jury. Now, you've already explained to us the impediments in the UK. I mean, I'm astounded by the outcomes of the French and UK election. I mean, just because you win a lot of votes doesn't mean you get much power.
Yeah, and I think in the case of Trump, you know, it's what's really interesting for me is that this breakdown, this sort of the crumbling of this foundation of what we believed in so long, of the foundations of an American democratic model, you know, where people really believed in it. They almost had a religious reverence to it in the 40s and 50s. You know, now it's crumbling, and it's crumbling on both sides. You know, we talk about Trump and the assassination attempt. It seems to me that the Biden camp don't need to pay some kid to shoot Biden.
No, we're not saying that here. Nobody's saying that here.
No, I know, but he seems to be doing a pretty good self-assassination or suicide on himself. You know, we're seeing panic now in the whole system, and the Democrats are beginning to panic in a different way. You've got now, I think, 20 congressmen who have written to Biden saying, look, you know, we love you, but give it up. I think also Hollywood has been weighing in as well. People like George Clooney wrote a very damning piece in the New York Times. I mean, really damning piece. And I think he spoke on behalf of a lot of Hollywood brats, you know.
Well, you know, probably
Clooney.
I really do not care what people like George Clooney have to say. Hollywood is so corrupt, and money corrupts everything. So money coming from Hollywood into the political process is just as corrupt. You know, George, what's really amazing to me, Trump, it will be a dictator. He will shut down democracy. You know, refresh my memory. He was president for 4 years. Okay. I mean, he didn't shut down the media, didn't shut down the trade unions. He didn't go after Hillary Clinton, but his own DOJ went after him. I mean, this is just a narrative made out of whole cloth. It's not as if we don't know who the guy is.
That's the amazing thing, because, you know, if you look back on the Trump years, he basically governed as a kind of a moderate centrist or a Republican.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah, kind of a Mitt Romney. I mean, yeah, you know, he brought in the tax cuts. Every Republican president always has tax cuts. I mean, that's the signature policy of all Republican administrations. And in terms of his foreign policy, well, he promised all kinds of things. He never delivered. So, you know, the whole idea, oh, he's going to withdraw from NATO, he's going to withdraw from Syria, he's going to withdraw from Afghanistan. He didn't do any of those things. Mm. And then, you know, you have to say, even Biden, you know, and obviously, you know, I'm no fan of Biden. No one here is a fan of Biden's. At least he withdrew from Afghanistan. Trump just simply said, yeah, I'm going to do that. But, ultimately, he didn't go ahead with it. So if you look back on those years, just to take away his personality, he was a centrist Republican. So the hysteria has absolutely no basis, whatever. And the whole, this, like what you said, made out of whole cloth, the idea that he was pro-Russia, that he favored Putin, it's just so stupid, so idiotic.
Well, George, Russiagate is back, okay? Right. You know, Martin, it's really interesting. In looking at this campaign here, obviously there's a microscope scope on Joe Biden because of his mental acuity issues here. But, you know, you have to give credit where credit's due. Trump has been running an amazingly moderate campaign. He's very careful. He's got himself under control. This is one. And now the campaign is completely turned upside down again. Everyone's going to be focusing on, it was your rhetoric, it was your narrative, et cetera, et cetera, and not on the policies. Go ahead.
And I think I know why. I think I know why Trump seems to be more sober and even somnolent at times when you would think he would rise to the bait and be more sensational. I think it's because he's got the media experts in, and they've looked at the tapes and they've evaluated where he's gone wrong in the past. And, you know, he's becoming more of a media professional now. And the way that you can see that, the way that it's so evident, was with the debate with Biden.
Yeah.
is that the experts told him, you don't need to weigh in. You don't need to throw your arms around and say all these stupid insults. Just let the guy bury himself, and which is what he did, you know. So I think there is a new Trump emerging, which is one who listens to his advisors. And it's so clear that Biden doesn't listen to any of his advisors, certainly not media, you know. And I think that's really going to make a difference. And it may well mean a critical difference when it comes to the voting, you know. But I think we'll have to wait and see. And, you know, I think also Biden's got enough problems in the next few weeks, though. The Democrats are telling me that there is a critical cutoff point somewhere in the middle of August where there will be no option anymore to go with Biden.
And it has definitely with the Republican convention coming up, there's going to be plenty for all of us to chew on here. Gentlemen, that's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Budapest and in Marrakesh. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk rules.